Passover. What Matthew records there, he records it not in the chronological order. He says in verse 6, while he was in Bethany. The reason he puts the story there, and not chronologically, it's a contrast. The historians of old did not do like modern. Well, I better let you do some translating. Or can I continue long?
Okay. Yeah, I do some translation first. 就首先呢，这个我们要知道，圣经是没有误。这如果呢，如果我们读出来有什么差别，一定是我们理解的问题。所以它的记载呢，一定不是记错了，圣经是全然无误的。所以呢，这两个故事呢，是的确是同一个事情啊。那我们可以一点点来看。首先呢，我们先看这个马太福音的这个26章讲到的这个两天哈。所以呢，时间上的准确的是约翰福音的记载啊，就是逾越节前六日啊。但是呢，马太福音讲的这个呢时间呢，它并不是一个。准确的时间顺序啊，讲到26章从一节到第六节的这个过程，所以第六节它是插进去的一个故事。
Mark also uses the same time period, but what they're doing, I believe, is because he doesn't say 2 days. It was while he was in Bethany. While he was in Bethany, it was 6 days before the Passover. And as I mentioned, the historians, like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they often take their stories not in chronological order, but in a moral order, we might say. In other words, they'll use stories to contrast one with another. In Matthew's case, and Mark does the same thing pretty much, he contrasts the chief priests that wanted to kill him, and then he contrasts that with the acts of Mary of Bethany in her devotion to the Lord Jesus. And so the two stories put side by side emphasize each other. It shows the diabolical, satanic origin of the hatred of the Jews with this divine spiritual understanding of this woman, Mary Bethany.
对，就是呢，这里呢，我们要知道马太和马可记述的点是比较相似的啊，就是呢，马太的记述呢，就26章1节到5节呢。它是一段六节往后呢又是一段，马可也是一样，14章1节到2节是一段，三节往后又是一段，所以你会看这个记述的方式，它是先它并不是突出时间上的顺序，它是来对比两组人对神的不同态度啊。我们用马太来做例子呢，就是26章1节到5节呢，突出的是大祭司以及大祭司为代表的这么一群。仇敌视神的人啊，他们是怎样的抛弃福音抵挡神的。然后从六节开始往后呢，你会看见一个另一面的鲜明的对比，马大玛利亚对主的态度，尤其这玛利亚的这个态度啊，那他对神的爱就和前面的形成鲜明的对比。然后马可也是一样的啊，14章1、2节和3节往后形成鲜明的对比。那约翰他的技术不太是这样的，所以我们要看他记载的角度，首先马太和马可他的角度是不太一样。
One more perhaps point that might make is that if I recall correctly, and that is that the Lord Jesus after this time. He often used to spend the night out on the Mount of Olives the whole night long. So he did not retire back to the house of Bethany. 2 days before, he was probably spending his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where at that time, Judas knew where he was going to be. And when he was going to be there, in order that he could go to the chief priest and plot his betrayal with them. He knew where he would be. So it would, he wouldn't be in the house of Bethany at that time, 2 days before. I emphasize, it was while he was in Bethany. Doesn't say that he was in Bethany 2 days before.
所以还有一个点呢，就是当耶稣要快到上十字架的那两天呢，就比如说逾越节的前两天的话呢，过两天是逾越节，那个时候耶稣已经是要每天是在橄榄山来住下了，他已经不太能够再回到马大和玛利亚家去他们在接待他了，因为在那个时候呢大祭司他们已经要来杀他了。所以从这个意义上呢你再看二十六章的这个记述呢，他是讲到大祭司要杀他的时候，他说是再过两天是逾越节，这个时间顺序是稍晚几天的。然后呢在六章六节往后呢，以及马可的那个十四章的三节往后，他只是在说他在伯大尼的时候，他在这个地方的时候，他其实时间是在前面的啊，是那个先发生，然后过两天的那个大祭司他们要杀他是事情是后发生。
Well, that's the first point. I'd just ask if there's others might have comments on that, or if till we go before we go to the second point.
Maybe I can just throw in a different curve on this. I see the discrepancies that Nancy has referred to, and I believe that there are two different anointings. You will remember that in the Old Testament, there were anointings for people who were kings. David was anointed to be king. There were anointings for those who were to be priests, and Aaron was anointed as a priest. And there were anointings for those who were to be prophets. And Elisha was anointed as a prophet. And so my studies on this have indicated that our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed the first time in the book of Luke, chapter 7. And if you go to Luke 7, verse 37, you will find a statement about him. Luke 7:37. It says, "Behold, a woman in the city," and I'm reading the authorized version now, "was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." So this was an anointing in a totally different place. And the person in whose house it was Simon the Pharisee.
那首先呢，我的领受呢，在学习这段经文的时候呢，是这应有可能是两个不同的膏啊，因为在旧约里呢，有三种情况要受膏，第一种呢，王要受膏，第二种呢就是祭司要受膏，第三种呢是先知要受膏，比如王要受膏呢，大卫王，那祭司呢，那比如说这个撒母耳啊，亚伦要受膏，那先知呢就以利亚要受膏，所以这些呢在耶稣身上呢也有三次的受膏，那第一次呢就是路加福音的七章三十七节，所以路加福音七章三十七节这次受膏明显是完全不同的一个记述，而这个记述里呢发生的地点是一个叫西门的法利赛人家里发生的一个事情。
If you read now verse 39, you'll find the context. It says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him. She is a sinner." So I submit that in this instance, the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed as a prophet. It was early in his ministry, we're in Luke chapter 7, not at the end of the ministry. Early in his ministry, he was anointed by this woman. The picture is he was anointed as the prophet.
Now, 39节呢，路加的39节，他说呢，请耶稣的法利赛人看见这事，心里说，这人若是先知，必知道摸他的是谁，是个怎样的女人，他乃是个罪人。所以在这里哈，我领受呢，他应该耶稣在这里被膏所指向的就是他是一个先知，而且呢，他的时间呢是要早于后面提到的两次受膏的，是在耶稣在服事的3年半当中发生的事情。
Then if you go to John chapter 12, this story takes place 6 days before the Passover. And I'm not sure precisely the calculation, but this would have been a day or 2 days before Palm Sunday when the Lord Jesus Christ rode down the mountain into the city of Jerusalem and he was proclaimed to be the king. They said, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And he was proclaimed on that occasion to be king. They changed their minds as the week went on. They ultimately killed him. But this was the pinnacle of his recognition as a kingly person. And you'll remember at the crucifixion, the question put to Pilate put to him was, are you the king of the Jews? And he was proclaimed by some to be king on Palm Sunday. So I would submit that this was an anointing in order that he would be authenticated as the rightful king. That was 6 days before the Passover.
那约翰福音的12章的第一节呢，他说逾越节前六日啊，那我们不知道这个日子怎么数，但是呢，不管怎么数呢，他应该是在那个棕榈枝的主日前面的一天或者两天啊，因为他受难的前六日往前倒呢，应该就是前一个主日的之前的一天或者两天。那个时候呢，耶稣进棕榈枝主日呢，他进耶路撒冷是以王的身份进去的，因为大家都喊何塞纳啊，那以王的身份来接待他的整个耶路撒冷，所以这个时候在这之前的一到两天呢，他的这个受膏，他是以王的身份被膏的，这是人们对他认知的一个顶点啊，因为整个3年半到这个时候，大家认他做以色列的王，做全地的王。同时呢，在他被审的时候呢，应该是比拉多也问他，你是犹太人的王吗？他也认可的，所以这个时候他已经是王了啊，就是被膏了做王了。
Then you remember that he was rejected as king, and he was going to go to the cross. So 2 days before he goes to the cross, 2 days before the Passover, Matthew 26, I submit that he was anointed then to be the priest. He went to the cross. Hebrews tells us that on the cross, he became our great high priest. He did his great priestly ministry. So he was anointed, first of all, to be prophet, and he preached. Then he was anointed to be king, and he was rejected. Then he was anointed to be priest, and he went to the cross to fulfill his priestly ministry. And if there were three anointings, the last two, one in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany, and then the other in the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, then the discrepancies are not discrepancies, there's two different anointings. And the logic then of the two anointings is that he had to be both our prophet and our priest and our king, and he was anointed the three times. So that resolves it. Eric's points are the parallels, and they're very, very good. But that resolves the apparent discrepancy. And I don't see an apparent discrepancy. I think that they're all, each one happened.
那还有一个点呢，就是在两天前的话，假设时间是这样的话，那耶稣其实在那个时候他还有一个很重要的身份，就是他是祭司。那耶稣做祭司的身份最重要的事情呢，就是为我们的罪献祭，他既是祭司又是祭物，所以他的受难呢就是一个献祭的过程。所以耶稣呢受膏做祭司是他第三个受膏的角度啊。那这也是在长大麻风家的伯大尼长大麻风的西门家受膏的这个含义，就是他是受膏做祭司。所以呢你把三次受膏呢放在一起，你就看见呢他就受膏做了先知，也做了王也做了祭司就和旧约是完全一致的所以呢我们从这个意义上呢就至少能够看见他不会形成直接的记载的冲突啊，三次受膏啊，那这是他的领受。
Yes,
that's all that I have.
Yes, now there are some difficulties with that in that he was not really anointed as priest until he rose from the dead as great high priest. And other difficulties might be that the words to this woman were exactly the same as John has. And the circumstances seem to be identical. Although I can't, I haven't, I won't say that I have studied that from that angle. But at the end, so that is a possibility, although my understanding of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus was that he was not a priest on earth because he was not of the tribe of Levi. He couldn't be. He was disqualified. But now, having risen from the dead, he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, no beginning and no end. So what this may serve for some of you listening is that there are divergences of understanding. Many men of God may not come to the same conclusions. Doesn't mean to say that the Word of God is wrong. It just means that our understanding is faulty, perhaps. So I'll let Long translate that, and then I'll make a couple of other comments. And I know Josh is just waiting to jump in here at the first opportunity.
Okay. 所以呢他说呢这里呢的确是一个很好的角度啊来这么理解，但也会有一些的难处啊，比方说呢耶稣要做祭司的身份呢是有一些难处的，因为首先呢耶稣他并不是利未支派的啊，他是犹大支派的，然后呢耶稣大祭司的身份呢按希伯来书说呢他是麦基洗德等次的啊，麦基洗德等次呢就能他是无始无终的，所以他是以犹大支派可以做祭司，他是麦基洗德等次的。那这样的等次的祭司是耶稣复活以后才可以实现的，所以这是第一个难处啊。那第二个难处呢，就是马太福音的这一段记载和约翰福音的那一段记载呢，在很多的技术上是很一致的，就很多的细节上是很一致的。所以也是有这个可能性，它是讲的是同一件的事情啊。所以这里呢，我们可以看见，我们很多时候在读神的话的时候呢，的确会产生不同的理解啊，这个非常正常啊。这个不等于神的话呢， 会有错谬啊，但是呢，的确我们的理解是有限的啊。然后呢，他说等我之后呢，他还会再补充一些。
Another comment I would make is that the house of Simon the leper, it seems to be a contradiction to this to the place where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived. Now, it says that Simon is a very, very common name in Israel. And we know that the Lord was there when this woman came in and anointed him. But in John's Gospel, it's interesting to say, it's interesting to see that Lazarus, if it was the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, then they might have, Lazarus would more than likely play the part of host. But all it says about him is he was one of the guests, or he was among those reclining at the table with him. Now, scholars have reconciled this by saying that Simon the leper is actually the father of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it was in their home, that was actually their father's home, who had been a leper, who had obviously been healed, that they often entertained the Lord Jesus, and he was welcomed there. So that's how some scholars reconcile this.
Okay. Interesting. 那在马太福音和约翰福音的这一段呢，我们看见有一些细节哈，就比方说呢，约翰福音的十二章的二节呢，他说有人在那里给耶稣预备筵席，马大伺候，拉撒路也在那同耶稣坐席的人中，所以我们第二个看起来有一定的冲突的是地点啊。那这个地点呢，其实在十二章在约翰福音十二章的时候呢，我们注意这个地点应该不是在拉撒路和马大家，因为拉撒路在这里也是坐席的人中，他明显是个客人，那如果这个如果是马大、玛利亚和拉撒路在他们家请客的话呢，拉撒路应该是那个主人，所以他不应该是在那坐席的人中间是一个客人的身份，也而不是这个这么样的一个安排。如果你读第二节，你显然他们不是一个。他们以他们家为主的这么一个状态，那有圣经学者呢，有这样的一个解释啊，他就说呢，这个是怎么回事呢？就是长大麻风的西门家里呢，西门呢应该是这三兄妹的父亲啊，那他是那个真正请客的啊，你就能解释了啊，就是那他是那父亲的时候呢。这个那他们三兄妹在里面服侍呢就很正常，但是呢他并不是三兄妹不是主人，是他的父亲是主人，然后他父亲也的确得着了耶稣的医治啊，他们一家都很爱主啊，所以这个就这一种的圣经学者的解释哈。OK, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to go forward on that. I'm certainly going to look into Harold's suggestion, if it's worthwhile. I don't know if it's helping Nancy to have two different answers, but at any rate, the last point was, before I turn it over to Josh, was one says it was anointing the head, the other feet. And the it's easily reconciled by saying that he probably anointed both for different reasons. You don't record certain things. You have certain things in your mind. If you were to write down every detail of what you see, it would be different from a bystander who is right beside you and writing down every detail they see. Some things they think are important, some things they don't. But the Spirit of God, I think, records the things that he wants us to know in the context in which he puts them. So I don't see too much of a difficulty there. There may be. Maybe some might have might want to make something of that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. 就说呢，我们还有一个不同的点，就是高头还是高脚啊？那极有可能是头也高了，脚也高了啊。就是你站在不同的立场啊，或者不是不同的，你站在不同的观测的角度和你自己技术的角度，它并不是说的我必须要把这件事情按细节时间顺序全部写下来，那它是它截取当中它能记载下来的，那一个记载了高了头，一个记载了高了脚，所以这个本身不会形成。直接的冲突啊，从他的角度来说啊。
Errol, did you have anything else on that before?
No, I don't have anything else to add. Apart from the fact that I think it is frequent that there are different approaches to a particular question or a particular passage, and so if you check with learned scholars, you'll find differences. And I must confess that what I presented, I did not get from a lot of learned scholars. I'm trying to remember, I don't know if I've ever read anything on it. I just put those observations together in my own study several years ago. And I think that we study scripture and we try to learn from others and then we have to reach our own decision. Very often there's lots of truth in both positions.
Yeah,
very good. I've studied it from a different perspective. I don't know if all of you want to hear all this kind of stuff, but anyway, I looked at it as the Lord Jesus' first anointing was there at his baptism, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so on. So that's another approach. And Harold is quite right. There is a lot of spiritual truth to be mined in the scripture. And nobody can say that they have all the truth by any means. We learn from one another. And if we're humble, we will learn a lot from our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
对，就是我们圣经里有很多的真理啊，就是我们如果很谦卑的来看呢，我们能从弟兄姊妹呢能学到很多啊，虽然这不一定说就是我们每个人的这个理解呢，它就是一个标准的答案啊。那 yeah, maybe I have something to add.
Sure, leave Josh straight to the very end.
You know what? I personally, I think, it may be the same story. The major evidence is the both record the one disciple rebuke this lady and talking about gave the money to poor. But if this thing happened once, unlikely. Happen again in short time, right? So if somebody said, okay, why use this perfume waste and Lord Jesus said, okay, Lord, you always have poor, but you seldom have myself, and unlikely several days later another disciple or the same disciple in the same anointing will say the same thing. And personally, I also tend to agree with Harold, because if you have looked at the four Gospels, Lord Jesus have different picture. So the Matthew is the king, and Mark is the servant, and Luke is the man, and John is the God. So, but all use the same.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You most of the story are the same, right? So the same story, different picture. I don't think that's a difficulty here. So just like myself, I'm the father, I'm the husband, I'm the son, I'm Harold's co-worker, and I'm a brother of Josh. So I have a lot of picture in different eyes. So if, for example, if Josh want to make some record for myself, and it should be totally different from my daughter. So well, that's a, I don't think that's any, if the same thing. For example, like today, I'm translating. So from Josh's point of view, he described, and from my daughter's point of view, and she described, will be totally different. But it's the same story, but it's a different picture. So that's my yeah.
You better get a translator okay. for that.
Yeah. 就是呢，就我自己的领受，我觉得当时我读的时候呢，就我觉得这应该是同一件事情啊，因为它里面有一个很重要的内容，就是它都记载了，就是耶稣说不要为难这女人啊，这女人高了以后就有个门徒啊，就是说这个还好多好多钱的香膏啊，为什么不去救济穷人啊？然后耶稣呢就说不要为难这女人啊，讲了很多教导。就如果这个事情发生了一次啊，你很难想象再过几天呢又有个高了以后。然后呢又这个门徒又讲了，然后又耶稣再讲一遍，这个可能性很小啊，这个一般来说你要讲过了，那大家就都知道了嘛，这么清楚的表达，大家不可能又说这个银子很贵，你这么不拿去卖了去救穷人。但是呢同样的呢我们也同样可以在这件事情上看见Harold 弟兄的刚才的领受啊，因为你同一件事情你看见两个不同的角度是很正常的。那同样的一个膏呢，从马太的角度他可能更偏向于技术，他是一个祭司的这个受膏啊。那从约翰的角度他可能更偏向于技术，他是一个王的受膏。这个很自然，就像四个福音书，耶稣有的时候是王的形象啊，有的时候仆人的形象，人的形象，有的时候是这个神的形象。就像我们记述一个人的时候会从不同的角度，那有的是同事的角度，有的是儿子的角度，有的是父亲的角度，那这个用的故事都是一模一样的故事啊。所以
Roy?
Roy is the host, yeah.
Roy, okay.
Oh, he's asleep, probably.
No.
Is Roy here?
Roy should be here, yeah.
Okay.
I told you he's sleeping.
No, it's no big deal. Just while you guys were talking, I put together on a spreadsheet the three accounts side by side and just highlighting different aspects like when, where, the city. But I actually view these as three different events, three separate anointings, mostly because of the timeline. I actually believe that Luke chapter 6 account took place about 2 years before the crucifixion, long before the triumphal entry, just because of the previous chapter to Luke 7, Luke chapter 6, making mention of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is still alive, so that seems to give some help with dating. And this is just my view, but I do appreciate what Long said, and that's actually the second point I was going to make, is I think there's a reason we have four gospel accounts. I like to call the gospel Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like to call them biographical sketches of the life and times of the Lord Jesus. Each one of these disciples highlighted a different aspect of the Lord Jesus. And I like the way gave the example of the difference of perspective you would get between his daughter, myself, or someone else describing Long to you. But here you have the Lord Jesus and different aspects of the Lord Jesus' character being unfolded.
I think. Yeah, thank you. If you could Is that a good place to break for him to do some translating?
Okay, yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, 就是呢，Josh 弟兄补充，就是他也觉得还是三个不同的这个时间、地点的三次不同的像高哈。那他说刚才本来他可以把这个时间、地点这些细节都他做了一张表啊，本来可以分享出来，可能因为分享的功能没打开，所以他就说呢，这个还有一个点呢，就是我们的确是在圣经里呢四个福音书呢，就是耶稣基督的四个不同视角的自传了。那这种的角度来看四福音呢，始终是贯穿了整个四福音的，就这是一个很重要的视角，就是我们当时看每一个故事在这个福音书里它的记述呢，是强调这个福音书的它本身的角度在这个故事里的，所以这个和其他的同样的故事在其他福音书里出现的，它其实不会冲突的。
Yeah, actually, Chu just posted in the chat a good website link that takes a look at the comparison between these passages, and he lays out the different views, and the writer of the article, and the result is the writer makes a case that he believes that there are three separate instances, But again, like Harold and Eric both suggested, there is a lot of there's difference of opinion on that. So, but again, I think what's more important is just the different aspects of who the Lord Jesus is that are brought out in the different gospel accounts. Matthew's gospel seems to suggest highlights or emphasizes the fact that the Lord Jesus is king. John's gospel highlights his deity, that he's divine. Mark's gospel highlights him as a servant, and so on. So again, I think that should be the biggest takeaway, is that the different gospel writers showed us different aspects of who the Lord Jesus is. And I don't know if you want to translate that.
Okay.就说呢，刚才在聊天的里面啊，处弟兄呢跟大家分享了一个很好的这个一个文章哈，它里面就是在对比我们刚才讲的这些内容这几个段落不同的一些看法啊。那的确呢，是我们在圣经的解读里呢，我们不是说呢什么时候都是在什么意见上都是完全一致的。它的确是有一些难点啊，就是在一些难解的经文上，但是呢，今天我们能够很大的领受的呢，就是四福音的角度是完全站在不同的立场上来看的，就是刚才我有分享的那些角度啊，那马太的角度啊，就是王啊、仆人啊、神的这些角度。
I'm actually interested in the alabaster box of ointment. I don't know if brothers, someone would be willing to kind of expound on that. It seems like the women or the woman in this account, they poured very costly ointment upon the Lord Jesus. What is the significance of that? I think if you want, I think that would be worthwhile. I think just because I feel like that would, if someone's pouring out a year's worth of something worth a year's worth of wages at the foot of a person, I mean, that should send some sort of message to us of significance. So I was hoping somebody could expound on that.
Yeah. So he said, 呢，我们还可以从另外一个角度来看这一段，就是从这个妇人她的心。然后他做这件事情属灵的我们的解读来看这件事啊，就是一个富人用一个人一年的收入这么样一个代价就用在一瓶香膏上，而且是高了另外一个人的脚，那他是一个什么样的心态，他是一个什么样的这个富人是个什么样的解读啊，也许
I would probably think of this as I've always thought of it was Mary of Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of the motive, and that's what I think Josh is trying to bring before us, and I think to bring a devotional sense out of this, rather than just a doctrinal sense. Who was Mary of Bethany? And the Lord Jesus said about her in both in Matthew and in John, the purpose was the same, to anoint his body for burial, for the day of my burial. So, the action itself is not, it comes from a motive, does it not? What was her motive? Where did she get the spiritual intelligence to be able to understand all his disciples had not a clue about? They were still arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. They were they're beside themselves. They said, we'll go up to Jerusalem and die with you. The atmosphere was one of confusion and among the disciples. They didn't expect him to die. But this one woman anoints his body for burial because she believed what he said. Way when he was up in Galilee, or wherever she was sat at his feet and heard Jesus' word, that was Mary of Bethany, she understood what he said, that he was going to go up to Jerusalem, he was going to be rejected of the nation, suffer many things of the priests and the rulers of the nation, and die and be raised again. One remarkable thing about Mary of Bethany is that we don't read about her at the tomb going to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. She had already done that. Did she believe in his resurrection? It doesn't say, but she knew that he was going to die. And that was something that was hidden from the eyes of all the rest of his disciples, it would seem. So a year's wages, what would it matter? Because her Lord was going to go and pay the ultimate sacrifice. A year's wages is nothing. It's nothing in comparison to the glory that's going to come from his glory, his death and resurrection. See, she was, that motive was born that day she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Lord told her sister, Martha, you're concerned about all kinds of things. He said, but Mary has chosen the best part, and that won't be taken away from her. Wherever this gospel is preached, this, what she has done for me is going to be told for a memorial of her. I can't see two women there, but then again, I've been wrong before. But I see, if there is, then there's two most remarkable women, and not just one.
Okay, 这讲了一段补充啊，将关于这个玛利亚，就是为什么就接着扎什弟兄的问题啊，就是为什么要用一年的工钱来做这件事情，他的动机啊。那我们知道呢，这个是玛利亚的艾瑞克弟兄相信呢，就是伯大尼的玛利亚，也就是马大的妹妹，拉萨路的姐妹。那然后圣经也提到呢，说他这个膏的目的是为他安葬用的啊。安葬这件事情呢，就说明一个很重要的事实，就这个玛利亚呢，伯大尼的玛利亚是相信耶稣必然要上十字架的，或者相信他一定要死的，因为在这之前呢，耶稣三次预言他要死啊。那门徒这时候的对比就是，他们是糊涂的，门徒其实并不相信啊，并不从心底里接受耶稣的这个话，所以。神为什么使玛利亚来做这件事情呢？玛利亚她相信耶稣要死，所以她才会用这个膏呢，来膏耶稣为她安葬用的。 这个对应的呢，其实就是前面当马大和玛利亚一起在这个有一次服侍主的时候，这个马大在做事啊，很忙乱啊，他就责怪玛利亚。那耶稣就对马大说呢，你马大马大，你有很多的事这个愁烦啊，但是玛利亚已经得着那上好的不能夺去的。所以玛利亚是呢坐在耶稣脚前，他信耶稣的话啊，就按照耶稣话去行的。虽然在这个时候没有人相信，包括糊涂的门徒也不相信是耶稣要安葬要死，但玛利亚信，玛利亚就做了这样唯独那最有信心的事情。那之后呢还有证据，还有细节，就是在耶稣死后啊，第一个要去死后膏他的一批人里面呢，那是一批姊妹啊，那是以抹大拉的玛利亚为代表的一批姊妹，里面是没有这个伯大尼的玛利亚的啊，他有撒罗米啊，有其他几个。那这个说明呢，伯大尼的玛利亚呢，他是他已经高过主了，他在前面已经高过主了，他知道主要去世的，所以这个对他来说已经不是意外了啊，所以他也没有在死后再去高主啊，所以他是那信心最大的妇人。这也是Eric 认为呢，这是同一件事情的另外一个证据。很难想象有同时有两个信心最大的妇人。那为什么一年的工钱呢？这也很好解释，就是一年工钱真的算不得什么，再多钱也算不得什么，因为主是无价的了。所以他为主的安葬来高的话呢，多少价钱那都不能算什么。
If you look at John chapter 12 verse 7, the Lord's answer here, it also reveals something else about this remarkable woman. And ties this story with the one where she sat at Jesus' feet. Verse 7 of chapter 12 and verse 8, or verse 7, just sorry. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. And I'm reading for the New International. She said, and they say here, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. It was intended that she should save it for the day of my burial. When did she first come into a realization that he was going to die? It could only then have been when she sat and listened to his word.
Amen.
And he told them that he's going to die. She believed him. Of all the disciples, this one woman believed and acted upon it. So it wasn't just a sort of a spur of the moment thing, and you know, it was something that she saved for that moment. And that moment had come, and she anoints the Lord Jesus for his burial.
Amen. 那十二章啊，约翰的十二章有另外一个细节我们值得观察啊。第一就是七节到八节啊，就是约翰福音十二章七节说呢，耶稣说由他吧，他是为我安葬之日存留的。这在讲什么？在讲这香膏啊。那他因为常有穷人同与你们同在，只是你们不常有我，所以这说明这膏呢，这玛利亚是存在那儿的。那就意味着呢，这对他来说并不是一个意外，他并不是临时去哪又去弄了一瓶这香膏。那什么时候他会存着这瓶香膏，而且是为主的安葬之日存留？那说明主说这句话那就是事实了啊。那只能说明呢，玛利亚在耶稣脚前听到的时候，他把每一句听进去的听见的话都相信了。他从那个时候他就为主的安葬来存留着香膏啊，这是一个很好的证据。
So for me, I read this passage. I think Jesus will tell us something, because then when disciples saw this, they thought this waste. But Jesus said, the Lord said, this is a beautiful thing. And also when the gospel is preaching, it means after he resurrection, the gospel preaching through the world need to mention this thing. It means, I think,
it tells us the Christians nothing is a waste to give to Jesus.
Hmm.
But that were how expensive.
Hmm.
For Jesus, it's no waste.
Hmm.
Even your life.
Amen.
属逊弟兄呢就补充了一点啊，就是说呢，他说，因为这里原文提到过呢，就是不要为难这个姊妹哈，就是要在无论什么地方传着福音啊，述说这女人所行的，做个纪念啊，就是没有什么是浪费的，用只要用在主身上。那当我们传讲这福音呢，肯定是耶稣复活之后，所以这个故事对我们今天的基督徒来说呢。就是你别说一年的工钱啊，就是生命你给主呢都不是浪费，就是主配的一切我们看为有价值的东西啊，这一年工钱的香膏只是一个小小的一个例子而已。
I think that's a very important lesson for each of us, isn't it?
对，这是一个非常重要的一课啊，对我们每个人来说，我们不能认为花在主身上的什么东西会有浪费啊，没有什么东西花在主身上。
There is nothing wasted if it's a sacrifice from a heart like that.
Amen. Amen. 就没有什么是浪费，只要我们从里面是从心底里愿意奉献给主的，就没有浪费。
Several years ago, Frank Haggerty.Was preaching at 16th. Frank was Blanquita's husband, and he was a delightful student of the word and a very good preacher. He pointed out that this perfume would linger for some time. I know very little about perfume. You ladies know far more. But I would think, and Frank made it clear, thatIf you had hundreds, thousands of dollars of perfume poured on you at one point, you probably would smell pretty good for a long time. And his point was that the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross bore the fragrance of that perfume. No one ever crucifiedSmelled as good as Jesus. That's a strange way of looking at it, but that's the sermon that Frank preached, and I just think it's delightful. It's also interesting, and we learned this in our studies in Exodus a few weeks or months ago, that associated with the tabernacle worship,was much that was extremely fragrant. There was the frankincense, there was other incense, the oil of anointing was fragrant, there was an incense that was at the bottom of the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. I think that the closer you got,to the Lord in the tabernacle, in the temple, the more fragrant it became. And I think that there's a tie-in here, I'm not sure what it is, but I think there's a tie-in between the fragrance that he had and the deity that he also had. I think the expensive ointment brought those two elements together.
Mm-hmm.那 Harold 弟兄补充了一个很好的点啊，就说呢，一些年前呢，你看很多年前 Frank Haggerty 啊，就是那个 Blanquita 姊妹的先生啊，那他们是我们拆到这个玻利维亚去的传教士的夫妻，那他们年纪现在很大了，那Frank 弟兄以前来我们这讲到的时候，有一次讲了这一段啊，他讲的这一段呢，他提了个很有意思的点，他说这样的一个香膏啊，那这么多银子的香膏啊，如果膏在一个人身上呢，它是会持续很久的这个香气啊。你可以想象一下，假设呢你买一个10万美金的这个一瓶香膏啊，你膏在一个人身上，这个 他不可能说一两天或者几个小时就没了这香气啊，那这种价值香膏它是能持续很久，那就意味着呢，在这之后耶稣上十字架的时候呢，那个香膏的香气还在的，这是个很有意思的点啊。那你会想象呢，这个你可能全部钉十字架的人呢，没有一个是像主这样还有香气的啊，因为十字架的刑罚是很残忍的，而且在那之前他是要被鞭打的，所以那主的香气是一直持续到受难的时候。那这个呢，就让我们想起在查那个出埃及记的时候呢，我们详细看过了耶稣哦不，这是神的这个约柜啊，以及会幕。那整个会幕和约柜有一个很重要的要素呢，就是香气啊。你会看见呢，里面有这个灯油是那个有香气的，那个香也是有香气的。那它在这个过程中呢，就你离这个约柜越近的时候呢，是香气是越大的啊。所以神的神性哈，其实在圣经里它是一个很清楚的一个概念，就是让我们去闻见这香味啊，就是你离神越近呢，你离这个香味就越近，而且呢这样的一个概念在耶稣身上呢是完全的显出来，你把这两个要素连起来，你就能看见耶稣是那真正的神赐给我们的神的圣子，他也是神啊，在他呢也有这样的香气。
I think there's another aspect to this, and that is it's a picture of worship. If you look at John chapter 12, again, the account there, verse 3, and Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, when you talk about the house, we think of a worshiper coming into the house of God. In the Old Testament, it was, of course, the temple or the tabernacle when it was standing. But now, we as priests, we can come into the house of God. Well, Mary there, when she prepared that precious ointment, which speaks rightly, I think, of the graces and the perfections of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are beautiful. They stand. The name of Jesus is so sweet, the writer says. So that when the very person of the Lord Jesus is like an incense that went up into the nostrils of God, that was burnt by fire, went up there, God, it was for God himself. But in this house, you know, it's a picture really of the house of God. And a worshiper coming. And notice she pours it on the feet of the Lord Jesus. Those feet there, that in a sense it's, remember me, he said. As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, and worship, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes. It was those feet that came into the world, wasn't it, that trod the world. Blessed are the feet of them that come onto the mountains, that publish good things, publish good news. Those are the feet that she anoints, the one that came in. We remember him, don't we? It's a recalling again. But I guess the point I want to make here is that her worship was made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That incense or perfume went up into the very nostrils of God. And then she wipes those feet with her hair. Her glory is permeated with that same glorious essence that she has sacrificed to him. So she bore that same aroma for days afterwards. Anybody that would come into contact with her would say, Mary, what is this that you are, this beautiful perfume you have? And she could say, I anointed the feet of my Savior and wiped his feet with my hair. Mm-hmm. So there is something that the worshiper takes away as well.
Amen.
So I think going to Sushin's point is that as Christians, there's no waste. We not only give everything to the Lord and we get an eternal reward, but we get a blessing right here and now.
Mm.
To worship in his presence is the greatest thing that we can possibly, the greatest occupation that a Christian has.
Amen. 就是 Eric 弟兄也补充了一个很好的点，我们看一下这个《怨妇》的12章的3节。他说呢，玛利亚就拿着一斤极贵的真拿达香膏，抹耶稣的脚，又用自己头发去擦，屋里就满了膏的香气啊。那这里说的这个过程啊，我们就很清楚的看见一个很美的图景，就是一个姊妹，她带着这个香膏呢，她去高主，她是一个敬拜者。 他就是一个很美的敬拜者的形象，这个屋里呢，就是我们所有的圣徒们在一起的，就是神的家。所以神的家来了一个真正的敬拜者，这个敬拜者呢，用一个极贵的香膏膏了主之后呢，他用自己的头发去擦，那这个擦的头发是女人的荣耀啊，那他把自己的荣耀放在这个主的脚前。 用自己的荣耀去擦呢，他的头发上也有了这香气，所以当他用自己的心来敬拜主的时候，主的香气呢就满了屋，就整个全部的圣徒们就都得意啊，都能闻到这香气。那同时呢，这真正的敬拜者呢，又用自己的荣耀摆在主的脚前，擦了这香膏呢，他的头发上也有了这香气。大家可以想一想，当玛利亚膏完主啊。 用头发擦完，过了几天之后，别人还会问他：“哦，玛利亚，你这个香味很好啊，你这个是什么？是哪里来的香味啊？”然后他会怎么回答呢？他一定会说：“是我用香膏膏了我的主，然后，我用脚，我用我的头发去擦他的脚啊，我就用香膏膏了他的脚。”所以这就是个很美的，给别人最好的见证，一个真正的敬拜者，他怎么样得着，主的。 对这个的悦纳和认可呢，他怎么样得着真正的见证呢？就是他来到主面前，把自己的荣耀放在主的脚前，他也一样得着从主而来的香气，去为他人做美好的见证。哈利路亚。
我就是这个问题，我这个问一下。
嗯。
一般是那个祭司啊，去告别的，比如说撒母去告大卫啊，告这个扫罗啊，一般是男的会去告，这一节里面，你看这今天讲这个主题里面，全部是那个女的来跟这个主来抹这个香膏，这个合乎圣经吗？你觉得是？OK，so
the question is regarding this sister. So in the past, in the Old Testament, we know that all the anointment happened between, for example, like Samuel to David, Samuel to King Saul. It's a man, a priest, to anoint the king or others. So it's the man to anoint others. But in all these cases in the gospel, these cases are all a sister to anoint these anoint Lord head and Lord feet. So is it biblical for a sister to anoint God?
Well, I'll let Harold answer that. It's his theory that that this is an anointing, so I'll let him answer that one.
And frankly, Josh, I have had trouble with that very question. I will give an answer, but Long, maybe you can pass that on. Then I will say some more. But
okay.
I have questioned it myself.
对，所以对 Harold 自己，他说他也有这个问题。那 Eric 的意见呢？因为他的理解的角度是其另外的角度嘛，他并不是从这个三次高是从真正高他做三个职分的角度来理解的啊，就这个解释呢是 Harold 弟兄比较认可的解释，但所以 Eric 说呢，可能 Harold 会有一些理解，但 Harold 说呢，他在这一点上他也有困难，所以他也需要时间。
It is interesting, though, that women were apparently the last at the cross and the first at the resurrection. Also, they were the ones who seemed to understand. Eric's pointed out Mary understood that he was going to go to the cross and the men did not. So, the women played a key role in the understanding of his death and his resurrection.
所以呢，这是个事实啊，就是，留在耶稣，死后留在那里，到最后的人，以及复活的时候，第一个去，墓前去高他的人呢，都是姊妹。然后呢，像艾瑞克刚才提到的呢，那明白这话语、相信这话语的呢，最初呢也是这伯大尼的玛利亚，也是姊妹啊，所以这个呢，在这一大段的记述里面呢，姊妹是起到一个极其重要的作用的，这是毫无疑问的。
It is interesting though that by the time you get to Acts chapter 2, it isn't Mary or the other wonderful women who preach the sermons.In the book of Acts, it was Peter and John and the others. So there was a distinction in the roles, but these women seem to have, I got to be careful how I say it, but they seem to have the bigger heart and the greater discretion.
然后同样也是很清晰的一个画面呢，就是从使徒行传二章开始呢，那传讲神的话带领三千人得救，为主的道站立，和大祭司争辩，所有这些呢，全是彼得和其他的门徒，全是男的。那这两个都是事实，所以呢，在这里呢，你会看见呢，它有不同的角色，然后呢，回到我们现在这个记述里呢，这些姊妹们呢，的确是他们有一个非常大的心啊，就非常柔和的。心他们能够更深的明白神的旨意啊，这个是非常美的。
Is there anything else that you might add?
啊，我可以提个问题吗？
OK。
就是我也是从马太福音看，就是我有时候看到一个地方，我就四个福音一起看，然后我就看到那个马太福音。26:75就是彼得三次不认主嘛，就是鸡叫以先你要三次不认我，但是到马可福音讲这个事情的时候是大就是14:66-72，他又叫做鸡叫两遍以先你要三次不认我，我就有点糊涂了。然后有一个读到一个地方，他就说你们去传福音不要带拐杖，然后另外一篇就说你们传福音带着拐杖，我就觉得有点困惑了。
Okay, so this is a follow-up question on the similar cases in the Bible. So seemingly discrepancy among the scripture. So sometimes confusing descriptors on. Peter denied Lord for 3 times. The sequence, time, and and the time of the rooster crows, and the time of denial. So it's a bit of a messy when we read one part, for example, like Mark 13, and the other part in Matthew, I think it's also 26, and it's a it's confusing. Maybe we can leave this to the next time. And another similar case is, she said one time, Lord said, when you preach gospel, you should take your, it should be the cane, right? Or the rod. And on the other case, Lord said, okay, when you go out, you no need to take the rod. So I can't remember exact the place. She did not tell me. So yeah.
Is that Moses, you say?
Lord Jesus, not Moses.
Oh.
Yeah, Jesus said. Linda.
Oh, the sword. Yeah. Okay.
就是有就是我就是喜欢四福音讲一个同样的事情，他们是有一个小节，就是哪个福音也讲的这个事情嘛。我就喜欢四个福音一起这样子看，然后我就发现有几个地方就不太一样了。对。
So she said her habit is when she read the four gospels, she will pick out the all the record from the four gospels and read together. So sometimes she herself cannot balance the record, the description.
Yeah, well, tell her that she's in good company because scholars for 2,000 years have been doing the same thing.
Yeah. 所以她说呢, Linda, 你应该不是很孤单, 因为2000年以来呢, 圣经学者都跟你站在一起, 那他们也在做同样的事情啊, 有的时候呢, 读起来要比较费劲啊。
I have two or three harmonies of the gospel, maybe more. They're called harmonies of the gospels. And I don't know if any two agree with each other. There are lots of plausible, answers. But, and many writers are settled upon a certain line of thinking. But consider this. When a judge is sitting on the bench and he calls some witnesses, four witnesses forward, the witnesses are all called to describe the events that they saw on a certain day. Now it depends where the observer was standing, what their state of mind was, it depends on how they viewed these things, what their learning was, and so on. So he might get four different viewpoints. But from that, he can build up not only a three-dimensional, but a four-dimensional picture. Of the events, because you get four witnesses. That's what I think the Spirit of God has given to us. Given us three synoptic gospels and one almost like an acrostic in some way because of the way it's put together. So although we may not be able to piece every bit, every incident exactly, yet we know that each incident was recorded accurately. So sometimes you just have to leave it and move on from it, wondering why there is this discrepancy. Usually, there is some real deep spiritual lesson to be learned from those discrepancies. The least of which is, it's best left to the Spirit of God.
就是的确是这样，因为如果我们去看四福音呢，它就像一个法官坐在那儿呢，他有四个证人来讲啊。 那每个证人讲的每一个点全是真实的，但是呢，这个真的取决于这个证人他自己，他的讲述的背景呢，他的角度，会带来完全不同的这个技术的，看这件事情的角度。然后当你把四个都拼起来的时候呢，你就不但有一个三维的，你有一个四维的角度啊，来看整件事情了。那就像。 四个福音书里前三个福音书呢，其实就像那个三维的，那我们叫对观福音啊。那最后一个福音书它其实是立体，它是从上往下看的，是约翰福音是神的角度，所以所以这个呢就会让我们在四福音的这个学习上呢，能够有完全一个丰富的立场来看待这些事，所以这些圣经学者们他有跟我们同样的一样的困惑，但是这个并不等于圣经这些角度的记载是有问题的，它这都是真实的。
Our time is gone. Linda, we can maybe look at your question next week. The other question. Nancy, are you somewhat satisfied? Or have you left us? Oh, yeah, there you are. Okay. I think what we could take away, the biggest takeaway tonight is what Sujin had reminded us of.
Mm-hmm.
That there is nothing too great of a sacrifice to make for the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. I think that's probably one of the biggest takeaways tonight, that we can learn from this,、
yep.
this beautiful story or stories. I'll ask Sebastian now, if he wouldn't mind, just...closing us with prayer, but I just got to ask Linda, what is it that it was from last week, or what is the other question?
No,
the question from last week is from Jane. It's regarding...
Yeah, from Jane.
Yeah.
But, Linda had two questions tonight. We answered the second one.
Yeah. The main question is on the...Peter and denied Lord three times. Yeah, the sequence, time sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's not too bad. That can be reconciled, but at least to my satisfaction, I'll probably get two more different answers from somebody else. Maybe we'll just briefly touch on that next week.
Yeah.
All right, Sebastian, please send us away.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to you tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and salvation through him. As we heard, he gave everything for us. Lord, may we, as we go, just fill our hearts.That we may, and you live through us, that we may, I want to say, have your fragrance as people can see you through us, people can smell you through us, that our lives may be for you. We just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. May the fragrance of our Lord Jesus Christ be seen through us, our lives, broken vessels.
Amen.
That Christ might be, the fragrance of Christ might be shown forth.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.